Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Trustee Hill.
Present.
Trustee Morrison Butler.
Present.
Trustee Rozier.
Present.
Trustee Samuels.
Present.
Trustee James.
Present.
Trustee Finney.
Present.
Verification of the notice.
Verification of the notice, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met.
Good. Well, first let me say that I'm glad to see everyone. We're going to try to ad-lib here a couple of minutes until Trustee Tolliver is able to join us. Well, we have the reading of the minutes, or the, what's your pleasure? We have minutes from the previous meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes of the June 19th, September 23rd, and November 10th minutes of the board meeting.
It's been moved. Is that second?
I second that motion.
It's been moved and second.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
I also move that we approve release of the minutes of executive session meetings, only but certain ones of them. The ones that I move be released are January 30th, February 25th, April 17th, May 29th, and September 9th.
It's been moved. Is that second, please?
Second that motion.
It's been properly moved and second.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. Okay, I think we are being joined at this moment by Trustee Tolliver. As you see, the first item on the agenda is the reorganization and or election of officers of the of Chicago State Board of Trustees. And the current officers at this moment are the chairman, Leon Finney, vice chairman, Father Richard Tolliver, and secretary, Betsy Hill. Each year we must reorganize according to not only our bylaws and those that have been presumed to be operative. You have ballots before you, should be to the right or left of you. Does everyone have a ballot?
Yeah. Gray envelope.
It's a gray envelope.
I don't have a gray envelope.
You don't have a gray envelope? Wait a minute. Maybe I covered it up. I may have covered it up.
Thank you.
Should have Richard Tolliver on it.
Does.
Here it is.
Oh, it's under his.
Okay.
Here it is.
Thank you.
I think that board officers are elected every year. No officer can succeed his or herself beyond one election. And all of the current officers can only serve one more year in that capacity. And so I think, am I right?
Yes.
Are there any of us who cannot stand for election at this moment?
Everyone can
sit. Okay. All right. That being said, I would invite you to pull up your ballots and vote for. We have to have
a nomination.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I nominate Dr. Leon Finney as to serve as chairman for one additional term. I believe that the leadership that you have provided over the last year has been a very important part of getting us to where we are today, and that your ability to anticipate and to steer us clear of some obstacles that we might have tripped on has been something that we have really needed and that will continue to serve us well.
I second that nomination.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Is there a room for second nominations?
You have, we already have the second.
But yeah, no, I'm saying another nomination.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would like to nominate both Trustee Grozier and Trustee Scott for the chairman of the board position. I believe that they offer us a fresh start at that position, a new direction in leadership. I believe that it's the wise move because the current climate of the students, as well as other members among this campus who are stakeholders in this community, that this Board of Trustees, as under the current leadership, has been closed to outside opinions, and that we've initiated a wall of discontent between both students, faculty, staff, and the community, as well as the press. And I feel that it is necessary for us to consider the opportunities that both the governor and our bylaws offer us by having all trustees who are current members the opportunity to serve on this Board of Trustees in the levels of both chairman, vice chairman, and secretary.
You have to nominate one person at a time.
One person at a time? Well, my first nomination would be Trustee Grozier. And is there a second, I guess? My second nomination, although she is not present today, she has shown excellent leadership in just her inaugural meeting on November 16th. Also, her background is one which is seen by both the press and members of this university community as someone of untarnished reputation, and I would believe would do excellent work towards steering our university towards this new future, and therefore I nominate Trustee Z. Scott.
Have you gotten the nominee's consent prior to making the nomination?
I was not informed. I haven't received the nominees for consent. Is there something that I need to review before?
Normally you ask the person if they're interested in serving. It's not a prerequisite, but
it's not a prerequisite,
but normally one would engage in that conversation.
I understand. But given the short time in which I was informed to that we were having this particular vote, I believe my actions were justified. Is there a second for that nomination?
I move that the nominations be closed.
Wait a minute. We have other nominations.
No, you have to do one at a time.
Oh, his nominations be closed?
Yes.
So we have
the nomination for chairman.
Nomination for chairman.
Be closed.
All right, and so are we asking for the nomination for the vice chairman to be closed as well?
No, just for chairman.
Just chairman.
Okay. All right, so there's a motion to close the nominations for chairman on two names that have
been closed. Three names.
I'm sorry, three names.
Mm-hmm. Leon Finney, C. Scott, and Gary Rosier.
Oh, okay. Is there a second?
Second.
To close the nomination. It's been properly moved and second that the nominations be closed on three names, and those would include Attorney Z. Scott, Mr. Grozier, and Leon Finney. All in favor of closing the nomination, let's have the...
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
We should probably give the nominated count.
You can do the count.
Okay, all right. We should probably get a nominated
Yes. The council has asked, as we want to have the nominees have an opportunity to speak. And so we'll go with the, I don't think we have Trustee Scott. Is that her coming in the room?
No.
Okay. So that would be for the office of the trustee. Speak to your nomination.
Appreciate the vote of confidence from the trustees here. This is one where I feel that Dr. Finney has really steered this ship through a very difficult time, and I think with the full board today, he probably deserves to stay in that capacity for that additional year. This is a role that I would like to assume at some point. I don't know that that point is right today. I do think we still need Dr. Finney's leadership at this moment in time. But thanks for that vote of confidence from my trustees here.
Well, I don't know what to say beyond beyond the fact that this is a very important time in the in this school's history. It has met and I think succeeded in a major transition. And toward that end, I believe that were it not for the board that I happen to serve on, we might very well not have the outstanding president that we have in Dr. Wayne Watson. Our sole mission for the last year has been to navigate a very difficult process to put in place the most competent person we could find to serve as our president. Towards that end, I think that the team that we've had working achieved this mission. Dr. Watson is with us, and already we have two major accomplishments. One, of course, is the increase in enrollment, and there's a good likelihood by, as I'm told, 6%, which is the highest in the state of Illinois by any institution, to increase enrollment by 6%. And I'm told that there's a good likelihood that as enrollment continues, we will, for this semester coming up, there's a good likelihood that we'll be able to maintain that. This board is a policymaking body, not a management body. And toward that end, it's very, very important that we exercise our fiduciary responsibility, and that is to retain a competent leader. We've done that, and for those who didn't agree with the process or what have you, I think that we all are human and errors are made, but when you consider that there was an absolute need for change at the senior most level of the management staff, that happened. And I'm thankful to the trustees that were on this board with me as we, as a team, made it happen. And I think right things can come. And so I think that's all I want to say. It's now time, I think, for us to pull out our ballots. I put mine in the envelope.
I got it.
Could you do that?
I got it.
Excuse me.
I'm pleased to announce that the chairman of the board is Dr. Leon Finney.
Thank you very much. Next office, I'd like to nominate trustee Richard Tolliver as the vice chairman.
I second that.
Is there a nomination to further nominations or a nomination to close the nominations? I mean, a motion to close the nomination.
I move that the nominations be closed.
It's been moved. Is there a second to close the nomination?
I second.
Properly moved and second that we close the nominations on the name of Father Richard Tolliver. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. Finally, we have for the office of secretary. Oh, I'm sorry. I think that's going to be pretty obvious, isn't it? Right in somebody.
I'm pleased to announce that the vice chairman of the board of trustees for the year 2010 is Dr. Richard Tolliver.
Thank you.
Okay. Finally, is the board secretary. Was open for nominations.
I have not consulted with the individual, but I've had the pleasure of sitting in and at least one meeting with her, and I think she would make a valued addition to the board as secretary. I would like to nominate Ms. Lisa Butler.
You. Are there any other nominations?
I would like to second that nomination.
It's been seconded. Are there any other nominations for secretary? I'd like to nominate Trustee Betsy Hill.
I'll second that nomination.
It's been seconded. Roll call for the closing. Oh, is there a motion to close the nomination on those two names?
I make a motion that we close the nomination.
Second?
A second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. We close the nominations.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Would you like us to signify?
Yeah.
Do you want to offer the candidates an opportunity?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I forgot. Trustee Butler.
I think I'm going to have to take a page from Mr. Rozier's book. I appreciate the nomination. I honestly do. I'm flattered by it. I'm humbled by it. I think that this board has been through a great deal, and I think right now some consistency of leadership has a great deal of value. I'm not one to step away from a challenge, and so if this is the direction that the board would move, I would, of course, accept it and do my best. But I think that we would be well served to have Ms. Hill continue in her role as secretary and take advantage of the institutional knowledge that she brings.
I think I've been on the board longer than any other member at this point, which has its pros and its cons, certainly. And I do I continue to come because I believe that I can contribute. However, I also look forward to the day when some of the new members of the board can are able to take on some of these responsibilities, because I think it is time for new leadership. I think it's time for all of the knowledge and expertise and energy that our new board members provide. However, the will of the board directs us, I will serve, or I will be very happy to provide any counsel and support I can to the secretary in the coming year.
Let's ballot.
Pleased to announce that the Secretary of the Board of Trustees for the year 2010, Ms. Betsy Hill.
Thank you very much. Let me say this. I think that going forward, I want to certainly extend my appreciation to those who have chosen to vote for the current team. I do believe that there's time for change. And I think that the board many, many years ago anticipated a process for change, which is why it limits our terms to 1 year and to succeed in a given office only once. And I look forward to serving on this board as your chairman for another year. And of course, subsequent to that time, if I'm still alive and on the board, I will serve under the leadership of the new chairperson. And I would hope that, as Trustee Hill has said, that other members of the board and some of the new members, if not all of the new members, are able to assume the offices of that I and others have been elected to. I think this is a very, very important time in our history, and I think that this team will make its final lap around the track in the year 2010. And then when I say this, I mean Trustee Tolliver and Trustee Hill and myself. It'll be our final lap, and we won't be able to succeed ourselves. And I think that members on this board right now competent. Almost there's not a member on this board that's not competent to serve in any one of these offices. And I would look forward to having the opportunity next December to vote for one of them as we go through another change December of 2000. Beyond that, I don't know if any other trustees want to have anything to say. We will then call follow the orders of the day, which is our agenda, and I'm sorry, but I forgot to turn my phone off. The next item, if no one has anything to say, would be the academic affair, am I right? President's report. President's report.
This meeting schedule.
Where am I at? Oh, approval of the 2010 meeting schedule. All the trustees have been alerted to this, I'm sure. If you refer to item C, I think you will see what we need to do. And we'll need a motion to accept this or adopt this meeting schedule.
I move that we approve the meeting schedule as presented.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and second.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. And then we have
can I just ask a question?
Sure.
About this? In the for the last few years, with a very small board complement, we have held the Finance Committee meetings and the Academic and Student Affairs meetings on the same day because there was so much overlap in membership and in order to get the work done. And so I don't know that it is necessary for that to continue, depending on how the chairman wishes to constitute the members of the committees. And so I just wanted to say that there's no mandatory, it's not mandatory that they be on the same day, and that if, depending on who's chairman, they may wish to revisit the schedule, which is can certainly be done.
Also, I agree with you, Trustee Hill. On the other side, all board members are invited to attend any committee meeting.
Absolutely.
So that if they are on the same day, that makes that easier to do. But you're right, there's no mandate that they all be held on the same day.
Yes, Trustee.
Another comment. I know in our in the discussions leading up to this meeting today, for me, as I am new to the board, there has been and it appears that there's some interest in having more frequent board meetings.
I'm sorry?
More frequent board meetings, so perhaps bimonthly rather than quarterly. So I guess if, I don't know the appropriate time to say this, but perhaps it could be on the meeting for the, or the agenda for the next board meeting, and to determine how that might come about.
Other comments?
Yes, I would like to make a comment about the current meeting times. Is it possible to have a referendum among the new trust, I mean, among all of the trustees for times that are more conducive to student and community turnout by having 12 o'clock, 12:30, if it's possible, or any other times that might be recommended through that referendum?
Any other comments? Well, I have one. I think that as we reorganize ourselves and get to know, we might want to consider making some adjustments at our to schedule at our March meeting. I think that there are pros and cons to the way the meetings are established here at this moment. And of course, I think that I did mention to Trustee Samuel that I was concerned that on the critical issue of the budget, that it seemed to me that we might want to have an additional meeting of the full board to make sure that probably one of the more deliberative matters that we have to engage in would be given the full vent of the presence of the members of the board. But I wouldn't want to interpose that right now.
No.
I'd want us to think about it. And that may mean we'll have a meeting in May and June to make sure that we have performed the best review, comment, discussion, what have you, as we move to adopting a budget. But beyond that, I don't think I have very much to say. I would say that during the period of time that we have coming up, Mr. President, you may want to think about splitting, dividing, I should say, the workload of some of these committees so that, for instance, we have finance, facilities, and audit. And it's questioned my mind whether they really need to be in one committee. And maybe we could have.
Normally they're separate.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Normally they are separate.
Yeah.
A bigger board.
Maybe you might want to pull facilities out and have a separate committee of the board with our facilities. And then you have academic and student affairs. And then on top of that, we have personnel and legislative committee. So you might want, you and your staff from a management point of view, might want to look at maybe creating two additional committees, maybe.
Actually, that's the board's prerogative, the creation of committees.
I don't want to do the work. I'm trying to punt and get the president to help us think it through along with council. You might want to take a look at that. And then, you know, the board can then take it up.
I would also ask that we have consultation with the administration before we arbitrarily add any additional board meetings, because that is also driven by the university's calendar and what's important. And additionally, having served 9 years as a trustee of another historically black college, we were constantly reminded of the additional staff work that was required to staff every board meeting and how they are pulled away from their normal duties to get ready for these meetings. So we don't want to, we have to be sensitive to their normal workload. And sometimes the staff at my other place, they would stay up all night getting ready for these meetings, typing up minutes of the committee meetings or whatever. So we have to be sensitive to all of that, and we should not make that decision in isolation without consultation with the administration.
Oh, I agree. I think that's
That's a valid point. However, every administrator who is submitting a report is a fiscal officer and department head. And in those capacities, they are definitely compensated for their duties and responsibilities. If there is a need for more board meetings to properly serve this university and its stakeholders, then that's simply what we would have to do. And staff members, although I am very sensitive to the workload, I've seen the amount of work that goes into reports and things of that nature. I mean, Dr. Westbrook's at the last full board meeting turned in a 31-page report, in which I read all of it and was very satisfied with its contents. But if there's a need to have multiple meetings that go beyond just meeting quarterly, then that should be the prerogative of this Board of Trustees, is to meet that need.
I would also say that we have, as needed, held special board meetings, and I don't know how many we held last year. Dr. Williams could probably tell us that, but I would guess that it was 3 or 4. And so, in fact, we have essentially met every other month or so, depending on the particular needs. And so I think there's a balance between predefining board meetings and then making sure that without putting unnecessary burdens on the board members as well as the university staff, that that we have time to address all those important things. But you make a point. The board certainly is obligated to meet and to determine that, to its satisfaction, all those issues have been addressed.
I think all the points and thoughts are well taken. Mine on the matter would be that we continue to meet as a board, full board, quarterly. Subcommittees quarterly on a separate day. I think that's most productive, certainly if you have a multitude of issues. And then lastly, I do think we should have add an additional subcommittee. I think, again, that most accurately reflects the number on the board. And of course, we can always do special board meetings mm-hmm. when necessary, but I think the structure should be quarterly as it is today. And I think the subcommittee should be separate, but also quarterly. I think that accurately reflects the number of trustees that we have.
I would also suggest that we might ask Dr. Brooks Williams to see if we can find out how the other universities allocate the responsibilities of the committees and how many committees they have. That might just be help us understand sort of the range of ways people address that. And then perhaps she could also poll the board members as to the best time of day for meetings. And
That would be easy to do. The American Association of Governing Boards puts out a booklet on board committees and meetings that could be made available, so just a little booklet to each trustee.
And also that information is readily available from Mark Don as well, so
okay.
I can easily research that.
That would be great.
We'll move on to the next item if there's no further discussion on that issue, and that is the President's Report.
Thank you very much, sir. I have submitted the report in the board report. I will not read that. I would like to update the board with some things that have happened in the last week. This week we had a meeting with the State Legislative Audit Committee. This is required every year. The meeting went, as you are aware, we've had audit reports over the last 2 years where we had 21 audit exceptions with 12 repeats, 17 recommendations, and there was extensive discussion with the various state senators and representatives. We had a very engaging discussion, and I would say it was also very beneficial for both the legislators in terms of they learned some things about Chicago State that they did not know. It was also beneficial for us. But all in all, it was a good meeting. Next, there was an Illinois Board of Higher Education meeting. The Illinois Board of Higher Education meeting. One very important, very extensive discussion took place during the meeting is the fact that of the public universities throughout the state of Illinois, it appears as though the state is behind 6 bi-monthly payroll repayments for each university. That is basically about 3 months. What does that mean? What that means is that the state is supposed to send out a predefined amount of dollars to each university in terms of their appropriation. And each university uses those dollars along with other revenues that they have to operate the university. The state now is 3 months behind, which is 6 pay periods behind for all universities. Without naming specific universities, it was done at the IBHE, I will not do it here. We have some of our sister universities that will basically based upon what the presidents of those universities stated, they will not be able to, they will run out of operating funds as of March. Another university will run out of operating funds at the end of December. A third university will run out of operating funds in January. I bring this to your attention because Chicago State University, being that we're one of the major public universities, they have also not given us our appropriations. And we are in a serious situation, as with our sister universities. And I just wanted to make sure that the board is aware of this. The next item that I wanted to briefly touch upon is that in your packet you have a room and board and athletic fee. The room and board and athletic fee, it is something that is being put forward. Very basic. We want to ensure that we can balance our budget in terms of room and board component of the university. And also the athletics. There's been discussions with various stakeholders on the campus. And the recommendation speaks for itself. It is our goal to ensure that we provide quality services, both in the room and board, and also in terms of the athletic. Both paradigms of both entities will change. I am not pleased with the quality of service or the quality of activities that we have in either. But that having been said, we cannot, as stewards of the of this university, allow us to go forward without a balanced budget in those two areas. But even with the increase of the student sports activity fee, that will not, you know, make that entity self-sufficient. We have to put forth a long-term strategic plan. The athletic director has been asked to put forth a business plan that will give us a 3-year strategy as to how we identify third-party sources of revenue for the athletic program, so we're not relying upon solely on athletic fees and et cetera. The last thing that I would like to touch upon is our chairman of the board made reference to it. Chicago State University is number one in the state of Illinois among public universities in terms of percentage increase of enrollment. I highly commend the staff, the administrators, the faculty, the students. I mean, students really did a yeoman's job here in terms of ensuring that we had, not only were we able to get our word out, but we set up a process during registration that ensured that we turned away very few students. And without the input of our students, of ensuring that that registration process became more efficient, I think we would have lost probably 100 or 200 students during registration alone. So statewide average is for headcount increase is 1.2%. Chicago State's increase was 6.1%. Statewide average in FTE at the other public universities was 1.2%. Chicago State's increase was 8.7% increase. That is significant. So once again, I would like to commend the faculty and the staff for their hard work and the Board of Trustees for the support that you've given to make that possible, where we're now number one in the state in terms of percentage increase.
Dr. Watson, related to what you just said, I was particularly drawn to the section of your report which speaks about your initiatives for retention, increasing retention and graduation. There's a very informative article in the current issue of Trusteeship Magazine, which is put out by the Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges. And it's a study that was conducted by Princeton University of 21 flagship public universities and 4 state public university systems on the whole issue of retention and graduation. And it's a problem. University of Illinois at Champaign is in this article. Their most challenging sector at all these schools are students who come from families where there is no prior person of college graduate.
Yes.
And that's their lowest percentage of students on every one of these campuses who graduate. And it's a very telling article. So I say all that to say that sometimes, you know, the press points us out or we think we are unique. Ohio State, Iowa State, all of these schools mentioned in here are struggling with the same thing. And if trustees don't have access to this article, I'll leave it for Dr. Williams to copy it for them to read so they see the bigger picture.
Thank you very much for those comments. You know, there's a book called Crossing the Finish Line. All administrators have been given a copy, and I know they have just studied it up until 2 o'clock in the morning. But the book basically touches upon that, and it identifies that one area as the leading cause.
Right.
And then it identifies 2 or 3 other areas. And what is very unique about the traits that leads to attrition is that all of them are ones finds very strong within an urban setting. All right? Within an urban setting. and
And in fact, the graduation rate among that segment averages 9% of students who come from families where there's no prior college grad at all these major public universities.
You know, I would only hope that the federal metrics, the IPES, you know, that they would read that article, because they keep measuring us with a yardstick that is inappropriate for an urban university. The yardstick that they measure us by is for a university that is private, a university that has a different clientele. We are very proud of the students that we have. We value the students we have. We value the experiences that they have. And if we must establish a university, our goal over the next couple of years is to establish a university paradigm that is unique and that is successful in addressing the unique demographic and socioeconomic realities that our students must live within in terms of an educational paradigm that embraces and that challenges those traits. Universities have had great problems with them. And let me also say this, HBCUs have probably had some of the greatest success going in addressing those issues. Very few people realize that remedial developmental classes, the real model, the first one goes back to the historic black colleges and universities. I'm finished, sir.
Great. Are there any more
you have to move adoption of your recommendation for increasing fees?
Yeah.
No, that's going to be done.
Oh, that's going to come from it. Okay.
Could I just make one comment, too? One of the things that I've come to understand better over the last several weeks, too, is that the metric that the federal government uses in terms of graduation rates is specific to first-time, full-time freshmen, which is actually constitutes a minority of the students here at CSU. And so one of the things that under Dr. Watson's leadership that I think has become, that there's increasing emphasis on is establishing retention programs and activities and goals for all segments of the university's student population, not just, certainly we care a lot about first-time, full-time freshmen, but we also need to apply the same kinds of thinking and programmatic support for our other students.
To follow up on what Trustee Hill said, in terms of first-time, full-time freshmen, I'd like for Dr. Green to stand just so that everybody can acknowledge. Dr. Green has been identified. We are developing a dean of first-time, full-time freshmen, and we're still working out the title itself. The dean of the freshman experience. We haven't figured it out. Dr. Green has a number of years with the university and brings a lot of experience. She has put a lot of energy the past 2 months of ensuring that we engage our first-time, full-time freshmen and we retain them. So Dr. Green, thank you. Welcome aboard. The other part of what Trustee Hill is making reference to is that our deans, through our provost, we have given our deans a metric that they must, that they're striving to achieve. And we're looking for 85% retention. And that is something that we're meeting with them weekly on. We've established strategies to ensure that we achieve it. And those strategies employ everything from tutoring to customer service, ensuring that we strongly engage our staff and our administrators to ensure that students are treated in a customer service friendly way, to ensuring that we have an environment, a clean, safe environment in our dorms and our union. We have much more work to do, but we have made some gains. All of that feeds into it, sir.
Yeah, let me just kind of, one of the most disturbing things that I encountered when I came on, became a member of this board was the the tendency of the previous administration to accept mediocrity based upon what everybody else was doing. And I always found that disturbing. In the event that we have a challenge with this school, it's our challenge to be creative as it relates to solving the problem, not accepting the fact that we were right along with everybody else. And my sense is that the view that the president is establishing for us to, as our academic leader and professional leader, is that so we have a problem. And that problem might very well be that we have low enrollment or retention. To assume that we can't do anything about the enrollment and or the retention, I think is not correct. We just proved, in the face of everything that's going on, we just proved that this school was able to outperform all of the state schools in the area of recruitment. Now it's not our challenge to figure out ways creatively to increase the retention by being creative and or innovative in order to meet the challenge that we have. And my sense is, rather than being a part of the pack, let's lead it, and let's establish ways and set new paradigm and or new ways to handle retention that others might not have thought of. And I gather that the young lady that we were just introduced to a moment ago will be helpful as we seek to be innovative and creative as it relates to increasing retention and turning the school, I believe, into a student-friendly school. I can't emphasize enough that with new technology and with mission and with marketing plans, both on the outside as well as the inside of the school, and how to make this school the school of choice for the students that come here and the most friendly place as it relates to being helpful to students as they encounter difficulties during their academic tenure here with us. And so I think that we've got a good standard that's been set already by us increasing enrollment way above everybody else's. And now let's set a new standard about how to effectively retain students and then lead the community of academic institutions rather than just be accept that we're doing the norm and no worse than anybody else. Mr. President, are you finished?
I'm finished, sir.
Okay. Is there a motion to receive your report?
So moved.
Second.
Been properly moved and second.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee James?
No.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. And let everybody be noted that we have now been joined by Trustee Scott. I didn't see her when she came in. Good seeing you. Mm-hmm. Next item.
This committee reports, Mr. Chairman, the Academic and Student Affairs Committee has not met since our last board meeting, and there's nothing to report.
All right. Finance?
Finance. Mr. Chairman, Finance, Facilities, and Audit has not met since our last meeting, and there's no report. I am our representative to the State University Civil Service Merit Board, so I'll move on to that since it's next. We did have a meeting last month. There were a number of personnel actions that they addressed from other universities, but there was nothing relevant to Chicago State.
Student report?
There's currently no report. Basically, we've been I've been meeting with both Dr. Watson and his staff in regards to both the fee increases for both residence hall and for the athletics department. There were many recommendations made by both myself and the rest of the students who were present at those meetings. And that's pretty much the statement.
Okay. All right. We are now at the moment of other matters, public and employee comments. Yes, ma'am. If you want to, you can stand. There's a microphone right behind you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm C. Cole Dillon. I'm the interim CIO, and I just wanted to address to Trustee James the question that you asked at the November 16th meeting with respect to bandwidth in the dorms in the afternoon items. We have done a thorough investigation of that issue, and what we're finding is that usage maxes out the bandwidth at that point in time. Since the meeting November 16th, we have increased the bandwidth by 50%, and we are putting in a new circuit. We hope to get it in by the end of the calendar year, but with holidays and vacations, it may spill over into January, which will give us approximately 40% more capacity. So that's what's causing the bandwidth issue. It's the number of users at that time of day.
Thank you. And is it your opinion that going forward, especially for the spring semesters, that students who will have midterms and finals and will have an increased usage of internet, there won't be any problems as far as exceeding bandwidth with the new increase?
Well, it is a little difficult for me to predict at this point in my tenure. As you may be aware, I've been here approximately 6 weeks. So what I have done with respect to that is instituted new monitoring procedures. When I came, there was no monitoring at all of network usage, and we have become exceedingly diligent about ensuring that non-beneficial usage to the institution is not allowed. So we're having a pretty severe crackdown on peer-to-peer and other bandwidth hog kind of activities to ensure that the network is more available to students. But I think what you will have seen in approximately the past 2 weeks is that the network performance is substantially better, and that there has been no network outages since Thanksgiving, and that's in large part due to the measures that we have taken over the past couple of weeks.
Yes, I have noticed the changes for my own usage, especially around the island.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, good morning. My name is Michael O'Connor. I'm a senior here at Chicago State University. I'm a political science major, and contrary to popular disinformation that's been put out, I am not a media person. I do have access to media, though. I'd like to reiterate the position of SWAT. SWAT is the organization for the new board members. We're the organization, it's called Students for Accountability and Transparency. All of us are CSU students here. Some of our supporters are at different universities, but for the most part, we're all persons that are here. The demographics of CSU, of course, as you may already know, is very diverse. 21 to people 60 years old trying to become educated. We feel SWAT is announcing, quite frankly, that we oppose the election or selection of Reverend Dr. Leon Finney for chairperson of CSU's Board of Trustees. We want this to be publicly known. We will be publicly talking about this as often as possible. We find that the controversies surrounding the numerous controversies, but more so the latest one concerning the Woodlawn Community Development Council and the Crane Magazine article dealing with $26.3 million in foreclosure is controversy enough for us to once again ask that this man be removed from the board. Because this is a public meeting, we will be talking publicly about this situation. And I just wanted to make sure that if any new board members would like to talk with any of us about it, we would be glad to talk with you about why we asked for the removal. We expect from this board a new type of process. We welcome new persons to this board. CSU has been here for 168 years. We're one of the most under-resourced universities in the state. That has to stop. Now we're in the process of persons being asked to further give money that a lot of us don't have because, quite frankly, the fiduciary duties have not been met by a number of individuals who have been on this board. That's problematic for us. If there are any questions or concerns, I would be glad to address them. Thank you.
Good morning. For the minutes, my name is Philip Beverly. I'm a faculty member in the History, Philosophy, and Political Science Department and have been for the past 18 years. In that time, I've witnessed profound changes at the university and repetitive failures, usually stemming from a lack of leadership and the absence of a culture of accountability. For example, between FY03 and FY08, the number of audit findings that this university experienced went from 3 in FY03 to 20 in FY08. Much of the responsibility for the poor performance rested with the body charged with providing fiduciary responsibility for the university, the Board of Trustees. For much of the past 13 years, the Board of Trustees has failed the university and the citizens of the state of Illinois by not providing oversight to the one employee it is charged to manage, and by not asking and demanding answers to the most pertinent questions surrounding the sound management of this institution. The board's collective performance has been so poor that the Faculty Senate requested that Governor Quinn replace the entire board. After a long and measured consideration of this request, four new board members of this body have been appointed. To you, new trustees, I say welcome. Welcome to what many refer to as a diamond in the rough. I've stopped referring to this university as